Bov Metzia Daf Chofchet Amud Bet, Manipulating the System Mishirabu Haramayim. So some years ago, a member of our family was took very ill, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong. And eventually they'd done all the tests. The doctors did all the tests that one could do, and the doctor said to us, "There's nothing wrong with her." And I said to the doctor, "Doctor, you know this person. You know she's not a hypochondriac. You know what she normally looks like. Take one look at her and then look me in the eye and tell me there's nothing wrong with her." He said, "What can I do? I've done all the tests. There's nothing wrong with her." So we took her to an old school doctor, and he spent 40 minutes with her without doing any tests. And after 40 minutes, he diagnosed her, and then he did the test to confirm his diagnosis, and she lived happily ever after. At what point do we follow the system? Because we've created systems for our lives, and we've created systems for society to enable the efficient functioning of society. And if we've checked all the boxes, how much more are we meant to do? And to what extent is there a requirement to rely on intuition? On professional intuition, on individual intuition. It's not efficient. Intuition is often not efficient because it took that doctor 40 minutes of talking to the person to get to a decision. And so it is. Are we going to allow people to use intuition? Would you trust the average TSA officer at United States Airport Security or the average police officer and say, "You know, you use your intuition. If you think somebody's a terrorist, arrest him. Even if there's nothing to prove it." Would you rely on that? Would you be comfortable walking through those security checks, particularly at the moment with anti-Semitism all over the place? Or are you going to require that he follows the procedure? And if there's a reason to, then he follows the reason. If not, he doesn't. And what if he follows the procedure and his gut tells him something's not right? Do you expect him to follow his gut? And then he could get into trouble for that. So this tension between following procedure, between checking the boxes, the bureaucratic requirements of society, and intuitive understanding of humanity, there's a certain tension between them. And our sugya deals with that tension, although I'm quite sure that most people who learn Daf Kaf Ches Amud Beis today are not going to think that's what the topic of the Gemara is. But as we'll see, that is the topic of the Gemara. We start with a posuk in the Torah. And then we're going to learn the Gemara, of course, a Machlokes Rambam and Rosh, the Shulchan Aruch on that we'll learn with the Vilna Gaon, and a very important Rivash. The Rivash was a posek in 14th century Spain. He eventually left Spain because of the anti-Semitism, and it was before the time of the Spanish Inquisition. Things were getting bad, and he went to Algeria, where he continued to be a great posek. There are questions about whether he himself was, at a period of his life, at that time, was forced to go through a conversion process to Christianity, and whether he did or didn't. He writes interesting tshuvas, being quite understanding of people who did it, who just went through the procedure, not who gave up, not who began to practice Christianity as Jews, but who just went under duress, went through the procedure, and he's a very interesting and important posek who wrote a lot of tshuvas, so we'll learn a piece of one of his tshuvot. The posek says, "V'im lo karov achicha ilecha v'lo yedato," in Devarim, chapter 22, verse 2, if you don't know who this lost gold Rolex belongs to, "V'asavto el toch beitecha v'hayayimach," you'll take it into your house as a trustee and you hold it in trust, "ad derosh achicha oto," until your brother comes to look for it. You don't know who it is. You don't know where to find. You've done whatever you can find. Put it away and wait till he comes to look for it. "V'hashavot alo," and then you'll return it to him. Says Rashi, based on our Gemara, of course you've got to wait until he comes to ask for it. What are you going to do? How are you going to give it to somebody who hasn't come to look for it? So it must mean something different. "Dorshehu shelo yehei ramai." There's a requirement that you check his honesty. When he comes to look for it, don't just give it to him. You've got to check that he's an honest person. Otherwise, you might be giving it to the wrong person. The Maharal explains the Rashi that, how do you learn that from the Pasuk? Clearly, ad rosh achicha oto, any cheder child will tell you, that means until your brother comes looking for the lost article. How do you learn that means you've got to examine the character of the individual? Says the Maharal, because what the Pasuk is telling us is you've got to be sure that shehu doresh achara avida, you're giving it to somebody who is seeking his lost property. Not somebody whose motivation is theft. So you've got to check the motivation. Is this a person who wants his lost property returned? Or is this a person who's out to take something that isn't his? Shezein u'doresh ha'aveda klal. That's not a doresh ha'aveda. So when it says, ad derosh achicha oto, you can only give it back to him when you're sure that the person looking for it is your brother who's looking for his lost property and not a deceitful person who's actually trying to do somebody else out of their property. You need to check that out, and that's how Rashi learns it. That's how the Maharal explains it. Says our Mishnah, Amar et ha'avida v'lo amar simana. You put up a sign and shul, you say, I found something. If anybody's lost anything, come and see me. A person comes and says, if it's a gold Rolex, it's mine. Lo yiten lo, you don't give it to him if he doesn't give you simanim. Some way of saying, what and how do I know it's yours? Is there a scratch at a certain place on it? Is there some indication you can give to me that will show me that you're telling the truth? Vaharamai, and if he's a deceitful person, afapi shamar simanea lo yiten lo. Even if he checks the boxes, here we come into this tension between you announced it, he came, he gave simanim, he said there's a scratch right on the half a centimeter away from the winder, there's a scratch. And the scratch is like a diagonal line. That's a pretty good simon. But you know, this is not an honest person. It just doesn't feel right. In such a case, says the Mishnah, lo yitin lo. Shineemar ad derosh achicha oto, ad shitidrosh et achicha im ramayhu imenu ramay. It's not sufficient to check the boxes. You've also got to be sure that in your judgment, this man is not a cheat. He's not a deceitful person. Says the Gemara, Barishona kol mi she'avda lo aveda ya noten simanim v'notra. Originally, anybody who came and gave a siman, if somebody came and said, there's a scratch just a half a centimeter away from the winder, you would give him the gold Rolex. Mi she'rabu haramayin, but now that there's so many dishonest people around, hitkinu she'ye omrim lo tsei v'ave edim delav ramayat. It's not even a matter of personal judgment and intuition. We say, go and bring proof that you're an honest person. Let somebody come and give evidence that you're a reliable, trustworthy person, v'tol, and then you can take it. Ki ha'davu ad Rav Papa, even the father of Rav Papa, irkes lechamra v'ashkechua, he lost a donkey and it was found. Ata lekame de Rabba bar Rav Huna, they came before Rabba bar Rav Huna, and Rabba Rav Huna followed the procedure even for Rav Papa's father. You need to bring proof that you're an honest person. We need aiding. We need to establish evidence that you're an honest person. Then the Gemara goes on to an interesting aside, which we don't need to go into. The issue is here is, and if somebody gives really good simanim, the Magid Mishnah at the top of the second page of the source sheet says there are three types of simanim. A siman is a sign that indicates that you know this piece of property so well that it must be yours. Number one is simanim muvhakim biyoter, exceptionally strong signs that are really a good indicator. Could go nekev bo betzad ot ploni. Do you see where it says Rolex, R-O-L-E-X, and on the O you'll notice there's a scratch across the O. That's a pretty good sign. That's called a siman muvhak. Ve'elu simanim machzirim aleim aveda dvar Torah ledivrei hakol v'harei hein ka'edim. And such a siman is so powerful, it's like witnesses, that alpitor, the Torah allows you to return the golden Rolex to a person who can give you that kind of siman. It's such a good siman. Two, simanim chashuvim. There's a good siman. Kegon midat or kol midat rochbo. You can say, you know, how many people can give you the actual dimensions of a Rolex? I can give you the dimensions of this watch because I've measured it, I've worn it, I know exactly how big it is. Well, that's a sign, but you might have looked it up on Google, not so sure. And these are in the middle. V'yesh simanim gruim, and then they're very weak signs. Kegon sumki v'chivri. You say, I found a gold Rolex, and he says, it's mine. You say, have you got a siman? He says, yes, it's gold. Okay, thank you. That's not a good siman. Or even if he tells you what the color of the strap is, that's weak, because he could have seen it on somebody's hand. That's a weak siman. So the Magid Mishnah classifies these three categories of siman. The question is, if somebody who might be deceitful gives a siman muvhak, the fact that he might be deceitful, he's done some honest, dishonest things in his life, it doesn't mean the Rolex isn't his. And if he comes and says there's a scratch across the O on the back of the Rolex, that's a pretty good siman. Are we not going to give it to him? That's a machlokes Rambam and Rosh. as to whether when there's a deceitful person, we'll give it to him if it's a siman muvhak, if it's a superb siman. Says the Rambam at the bottom of the first page, ba ba'al aveda v'natan simanim she'inan muvhakin. If a person comes and gives so-so signs, ein magzirin lo ad shiyoma simanim muvhakim, we need him to give really good signs. V'haramai, af api she'amar simanim muvhakin ein magzirin lo ad shiyaveh edim shishelo. And a dishonest person, even if he gives perfect simanim, a scratch on the O, we still won't give it back to him until he brings Edim, until he brings witnesses. Omru Chachomim, because the Gemara, our Gemara, the Rambam's learning our page, it says, V'haya imkad rosh achicha ad shetachkor achar achicha im ramayhu im lav. The Rambam goes further and says, ad shetidrosh et achicha means research this person. It doesn't mean check whether he's honest or not by the simanim. Oh, he gave a siman like a scratch over. No, therefore he must be an honest person. No, check his character. Research into the individual. Go into the person. Ad shetachkor achar achicha im ramayhu im lav. And the Ravid says, and if he is a ramay, even if it's a siman muvhak legamri, even if he gave the most unbelievable sign, we're still not going to accept him as being honest. If the character trumps bureaucracy, character trumps the system, because an unscrupulous person knows how to manipulate systems. You can't just say, "Well, I checked all the boxes," but this is somebody who knows how to manipulate the system. He did his research before. He checked it out. He watched this person all the time. He knows the watch because he's been preparing this for a long time. If it's an unscrupulous person, it's a person that doesn't have character, you can't trust him even if he gives simanim muvhakim, he checks all the boxes, you would need edim, you would need witnesses. So says the Rambam. The Bach has a different way of learning the Rambam, it doesn't matter. The Magid Mishnah says it's very clear on the next page from the Ravid that the way the Ravid understands the Rambam, as we've just seen, is that even a scratch on the O, even an exceptionally strong siman, will not get him the Rolex if he's a person of shady character. That's how the Rambam holds. The Rosh holds differently. And the Rosh says, She'en Ramah v'tol, aval b'siman muvhak yeira'eh she'machzirin l'chol adam. But if it's an outstanding siman, if somebody comes and he says, there's a little scratch across the O on the back of the watch, that's an exceptional siman, and says the Rosh, under such circumstances, we don't have to research the person. He's checked such a box that he gets it without any further checking. So we have the Rambam and the Rosh taking different views as to how far we will trust the system even against somebody whose character is shady. The Shulchan Aruch paskens v'aramai af al pi she'amar simanim muvhakim ein machzirin lo. The Shulchan Aruch paskens like the Rambam. The Vilna Gaon explains, because that's a simple understanding of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Amaret ha'aveda v'lo amar simaneha. If the person announced the aveda, he said, I found a gold Rolex, but he didn't say simanim. And this person comes and gives simanim. These are clearly simanim muvhakim. These are clearly good signs. You can't give it to him. V'haramai, and the Ramai, even if he gives simanim, says the Vilna Gaon, clearly that's talking about good simanim. So if you just read the Mishnah, it would seem to go like the Rambam. And even though the Shulchan Aruch and the rest in the next sif says nowadays things are different and we don't trust people to make their own decisions, if it's a siman muvhak, if it's an absolutely good siman, you give it to them in any case. But principally the Gemara is learned, the halakha learns the Gemara like the Rambam, that the character, you've got to check the character. If the character is a person's a shady character, it doesn't help that he checks all the boxes. You've still got to go further than that. The challenge with this is, so what are we, as I started off saying, are we going to trust every law enforcement officer? Are we going to trust everybody to use their own judgment? So a policeman stops you in the street and says, I think you're a shady character. What kind of, well, go and give evidence, bring witnesses to court that you're honest. Until then, you're coming with me to jail. That's all. We wouldn't feel comfortable in such a society either. So how do you balance this? The Rivosh at the end of Simon Shin Sadi Bey says, you've got to be careful, a judge has to be careful, because the Gemara also teaches you how to be a good crook. The Gemara teaches you how to establish credibility in court. And you've got ganovim, you've got dishonest people who've learned Gemara, believe it or not. Can you believe it? There are some dishonest people who learn Gemara. And if they learn Gemara, they'll learn how to manipulate the system. So a judge has to use his discretion and his intuition to be able to see that and to notice that. V'yelachen yesh ledayan lechakro ledarsho heitev. V'chol shcheinim u'muchzak b'ramai. Certainly if the person in front of you is known to be shady, but he checks all the boxes, he says all the right things in the court. U'drachav mekul kalim b'masao matano. And he hasn't got a good reputation in business. You don't have any, he's never been to prison, he's never been caught for fraud. But people in business say he doesn't have a good reputation. As a judge, don't just check the boxes. Check him out as the person. And he goes on to say that we learn even here in Sanhedrin and here in our Gemara that you've got to check. The chos of HaRambam, the Rambam says, klalo shel davar, the principle is, kol sheyaseh hadayan midvarim elu vekavanato lirdof hatzedek bilvad. A judge is entitled to question and question and question if he feels something isn't right. As long as his intention is not to cause difficulty for the litigant, but it's really l'shem shemayim, he's doing this for honest intentions. A judge is permitted to do this and is rewarded for doing so. That says the Rambam. You can do this if it's l'shem shemayim. So can you now say, well, every TSA official at a U.S. airport is doing this l'shem shemayim? He pulls you aside. He sees you wearing a kippah. He's clearly of one of those religions who don't really like us at the moment. And he pulls you aside and he makes your life a misery. Why? Because he says, I just feel something's wrong here. Would you feel comfortable in trusting that? No, you want him to follow the system. So how do you work with in that situation? Says the Rivash, Aval katvu achronim she'en lechol beit din koach b'zeh ela im kein hu beit din chashuv u'muchzak b'chokhmah v'chassidut. You can't do this if you stam a TSA agent or you're an ordinary judge. You have to be somebody who's pious, somebody who has yirat shemayim, who fears God, who's doing this for the right reason. Otherwise, you can't leave it to the subjective and intuitive judgment of the judge or of the law enforcement officer. U'mishirabu adayinim she'enem umkim. And nowadays, he says, there are lots of judges who are not so brilliant and not so qualified. Yesh lachush shelo yeh kol echad poretz la'asot lo derech litzono. We can't let the judges just use their discretion. They have to be governed by process and by system. That doesn't mean that all is lost. It's we used to do a lot of work with law enforcement in the United States, we still do. And the FBI once told me that if they suspected anything about me, it would take them 90 seconds to arrest me on due cause for something. They said the legal system in the United States is so complex that there is a law for everything and everybody's breaking laws all the time. And that's fine. They're not going to do it. The reason they keep it that way is that so that they can find something on the basis of which to arrest you. So they've worked out how to use the system so that when they have an intuitive sense that something's wrong, they don't just say, well, I have an intuition that something's wrong. No, with the system, they'll find a way to catch you out. And we have that in the beginning of Choshen Mishpat, in the Tur, and the Nosach Chelim, in the beginning, in Siman Aleph of Choshen Mishpat, that Dan Din Emet La'amito, a judge has to judge using his own intuition. That doesn't mean he just makes an intuitive decision. He uses the system. When he feels something isn't right, he brings the full weight of the law and of the system to bear until he extracts the truth. He'll continue cross-examining and questioning until the witness breaks down. You've got to use the system with your intuition. It's about blending intuition and the system. Today, too often, we've become so system-dependent that people have lost their intuition and they're making decisions and choices just on the basis, I've done all the tests, there's nothing wrong with the person. But you can see your intuition says there is something wrong with the person. But we've lost the power of intuition. On the other hand, we can't just use intuition because not everybody is the level of Yirat Shemayim that the Rambam requires for that. What we've got to learn how to do as individuals, because we're all making judgments all the time, and as professionals, is to blend intuition and system, to be able to use the system guided by our intuition to come to decisions and to outcomes that hopefully are fair and just.